You're listening to the Mind Made Wrong podcast, presented by Steel Maggie, episode number 25, part one.
Mind Made Wrongers. I don't think that's our title officially just yet, but hello. How are you guys doing? I'm Steel Maggie. You know me. Of course you do. This is Mind Made Wrong, and I am here with this week's guest. Please introduce yourself. How are you today? Issa Diva.
Hi, everybody. Issa Diva here, your beautiful drag queen. I'm honored to be here with Steel Maggie. Thank you so much for having me on your interview. I've been really looking forward to it.
Yes, I've been really looking forward to you. So Issa, tell us where we can find you on social media and the internet.
You can find me on Instagram. I am Issa Diva Queen. That's IssaDivaQueen. I don't have Twitter. My Facebook is still very personal, so that's useless. But you can email me at isadivaqueen@gmail.com. I do enjoy emails.
I do love your emails. I love your correspondence, darling. Yes, and we will repeat that at the end, so stay tuned if you missed it. Okay, Issa, tell us your origin story. Tell us all about how you grew up, how you lived, how you got into drag, and don't forget to mention moi. Just kidding.
Yes, you're a big
tell us about how you got into entertainment.
Well, my whole life, I've always grown up feeling like I just belonged in front of people's attention and just belonged on stage. I belonged getting people to smile, getting reactions out of people. Like, those are the things that made me like happy as a kid. And growing up, I kind of like always, you know, just admire pop stars and female artists. And I always wanted to be something like that and be very dramatic and beautiful on stage. But, you know, being a singer, I didn't really practice my singing. Liking music, I didn't really practice songwriting. Yeah, I didn't practice songwriting, didn't practice piano playing. So like, it was really confusing because I knew I was supposed to be somewhere in this industry, but I really didn't know where or how I was going to fit in or be taken seriously. So in 2012, I exposed myself to RuPaul's Drag Race season 4.
Yes.
And that's when
Latrice.
Yes.
Sorry.
my exposure to drag was started right there through that show. And it was in 2013 when Miley Cyrus released Bangers. And
it was that long ago?
Yeah,
six years ago. Seriously?
Yeah.
Yes.
She released Bangers, and one of the title tracks, Bangers, was the first song I could like see myself on stage dancing my ass off to, getting money, getting people excited. And it just popped in my head like
dollars in the pan.
Yeah, like, you know, what if I were to be a drag queen? But I, you know, drag wasn't very as mainstream as it is right now. So it was still like that taboo idea. I didn't really think I would see that for myself I just thought like, oh, I should do something else. No shade to drag, because obviously that's what I'm all about now. But yeah, so it was, you know, 2014, 2015, 2016, I was kind of just going through the motions of just working, you know, a minimum wage job and being in a relationship and just, you know, developing as a young adult. So I was easily distracted by all those things where I wasn't really focusing on becoming a full-fledged queen. It wasn't until my brother passed away a couple of years ago where I got this push to, you know, live my authentic truth and to like not be ashamed to hide myself from the world. Because I don't think he did that ever. He was very, you know, outgoing and people loved him for those reasons. And I wanted to do the same thing, but my own way. So I decided to make it a goal to be a drag queen, and I was going to learn the craft and be taken seriously one day. And so I'm here today. Just taking little steps. Yeah.
Beautiful. I want to know, I mean, albeit he was, you know, a straight male. So it was a little bit easier for him to live his truths because there wasn't more to it that people would not accept. But he was so, I remember, you know, being, you know, I've known him for, you know, my entire adult life. You know, I had known him and I was like, I completely forgot, you know, it's like, oh, it's just Tommy. Yeah. Right. But, we have to stop really. And this is almost like a tangent at the very beginning, but, this man, you know, this brother of Issa, you know, he was amazing. And I, just the way that he lived his life and the way that he really cared, I think, and really made it so that he showed you that he cared genuinely, you know, yes. And he wasn't like super lovey-dovey. He wasn't like, you know, like,
right. He could have his, he wasn't,
yeah, no,
sure.
No, but yeah, he wasn't, so intentional about it, you know, like he just really had a heart for other people. And, there was no fake about him, you know? And, when it came to him passing, it was like, I realized like how much of a blessing that he had been, you know, in the times that I had spent with him. And, so I was wondering, you know, 'cause you said, why did you, I know that sometimes it takes a tragedy to bring us all together, but like, what was it about that made you say, okay, like it's time for me to do this?
I just really felt like, you know, just you, nothing is ever really guaranteed in this life. I learned that immediately. And, you know, I can go about the rest of my days, you know, weighing out, what am I going to do with myself? How am I going to live my truth? But unless I actually do it, I'm just going to be living in regrets, honestly. And life's too short to be feeling regretful all the time for the things that you didn't do when you know you could have. I think that's really what it was. It just kind of just shook me and like got me out of that haze I was in of just drifting around, you know. And I
remember that.
Yeah, I still drift around. I like to call myself a drifter.
A nomad.
Yeah, it just goes through motions. But, you know, yeah, losing my brother is what really kind of got me out of that shell of just being comfortable in there. Like, I'm striving for more these days. And I want more for myself versus wanting to be something for someone else that I'm not, you know?
Yeah. Wow, I mean, we're already heavy, right?
Yeah, it's getting heavy.
it's hard to heavy really quick.
I mean, sorry about all the trauma.
With the way that it happened, you know, it was so, like, completely out of the blue. It was a family reunion, right? And right. It was, there was nothing, that was, like, the worst time. And a lot of times in life, that's how it is, you know? And you're not even expecting anything like that. And you want to go, you want to think for the best for yourself. And you want to think, oh yeah, I could get out of that, you know, so fast. And, you know, not like so fast, because obviously it's your brother, but like, I'm going to be even better. You know, it's like from coming from like a 2020 perspective, in hindsight, it seems so like, it's like, oh yeah, well, of course this would have happened. But I want to talk about, how it was in the moment. Because I know I want to start getting more and more deep here on Mind Made Wrong. And I know that you went through really a lot, obviously,
yeah.
You know, and because he was so important to you, you know, as someone who accepted you, as one of the first people who actually accepted you for who you were.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
As Tim, right? As Issa, you know, he really went for that, you know. So tell me about that.
Yeah, losing him was intense for sure. I was actually the one, you know, who sent him out to
get the car.
Yeah, get the car. So everyone catches up, you know, he got hit by a car outside our home. Yeah, I was the one who sent him out there to go and get the car and move it across the street from my aunt so she can come inside immediately. Usually I'm the one who does that. And I don't know what was with me in that moment, but I just told him, hey, you go out there. And yeah, what felt like, you know, 5-10 minutes must have been like close to half an hour. I don't know how long he was really out there, but the moment we realized there's something going on outside, and the moment I realized he wasn't around immediately, I just got this gut feeling that there's just something really wrong. And it was so weird because, you know, as you're feeling all these things happening, for me at least, it was very familiar. Like, it wasn't very shocking because I had always kind of imagined these things happening before. And it's almost like I've kind of seen it happen before, just in my own head. And really? Seeing it happen in real life, it was like, oh, I've already been here. It was really strange.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't until everybody else followed outside and you know, started making the commotion and the noise where it started to feel scary and real. And I started to accept it. And yeah, it was just the strangest thing, you know, to see him lying out there taken away from us. I already felt like he was already gone when I saw him out there. Like, I wasn't looking at him anymore. I was just looking at a corpse. And but even when we got to the hospital and they announced him like 5 minutes after we got there, it was still heartbreaking and really couldn't. I guess I was holding on to the last bit of hope that everything might be okay, and it wasn't. And I just never experienced anything like that before, and it kind of just took my depression to whole new levels of just darkness and just feeling very hopeless and very angry and. Yeah, just very, very unpleasant. I don't like ever feeling that way.
No. I want to talk about how you got through that. I know it's been 2 years, two yes. and a half years at this point. Yeah.
We're going on three in January.
Yeah. So I want to talk about how we came out of that as people. You know, how you came out of that as it's. I think this is like this is episode 25 probably of Mind Made Wrong, and 25. Hey, nice girls. Number. Yes. We haven't really talked about so much in depth about grief and about how it really changes people. And I really want to know how, we touched on it, like you introduced it, but I want to know
what the grief
where you went.
I just went into this place where literally everything around me just did not matter. Like just nothing mattered. You know, Tommy was the only thing that mattered. Seeing him again was the only thing that mattered. Knowing that he's okay and he's alive and well somewhere else was the only thing that really mattered. And yeah, everything else just I didn't care for. And it almost to the point where I was kind of ready to go myself, you know, like I could easily see myself just dying today and it'd be fine, because like what else is there to live for if we're all just gonna, you know, be ripped from this world one day? I mean, it was just very strange. I felt just unmotivated to pursue anything that I really wanted for myself. I think I kind of talked to you about that a little bit. You know, I thought about maybe going into the medical field, working as an EMT or something. Just giving up this whole like glam life that I kind of wanted for myself all along, because I didn't think it was that important. Like I should be maybe taking care of others, helping others in other ways. But I knew like in the long run, that would probably make me more of a depressed person because I'm repressing things.
Yes.
Yeah. But in terms of the healing, you know, I did go into therapy. I was in therapy prior to that, but it was a good thing that I was already in therapy. And that's just a good place to go and really just look yourself in the mirror and kind of understand what are the things that make you who you are. And you have to let go of things and people who kind of contribute to your depression. Not so much make you depressed, but they definitely play a role. And at that time it was my relationship that wasn't probably the best place for me to be in. So it took, you know, removing myself from that and doing the things that genuinely just make me happy. Like putting on eyelashes and putting on lipstick genuinely makes me happy and feel better about myself. You know, that's a great way to heal yourself from anything.
That's my quote. Just put on lipstick. Put on eyelashes. You know, it's actually not false. You know what I'm saying?
As like, false as they are.
False as they are. It's so true. It's like you can put on some things, just these little lashes, put on a little blush, put on a little lippy lip, and you are ready for the day. And anything. Like you can do chores in such a better mood. You know? And
in heels for sure.
In heels, guys. Try it. Men, women, anyone in between, try it. You should do it. But isn't it funny? Because I hadn't thought about it this way. But when you were talking about, you know, going into maybe medical stuff, and that wasn't your truth. No. You know what I'm saying? And Tommy was all about you. Like, if you had done that, if it had nothing ever happened, and you had been like, yeah, I'm just not feeling this drag thing because, you know, I'm scared, right? Yeah. I'm scared. And you were like, yeah, Tommy, I'm going to go into like medical shit. And you'd be like, fuck you, dude. Like, he'd be upset, you know, because he wouldn't, because he knew who you wanted to, who you really wanted to be. And a big part of what I do, or what I talk about on this podcast, is really doing the uncomfortable things so that you can do the things that you really want to do. And so, which is, it's not uncomfortable to, you know, study something, you know, whatever, like anyone can go to school, right? Anyone can be like, oh yeah, it's uncomfortable to get on camera, to put on your makeup, get on camera and like perform an entire lip sync. You know what I'm saying? That's scary, especially if you haven't done that before.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so intimidating because like so many people have done it before and like so many people are so good at it. You are so good at it. I mean, people need to come to more Steel Maggie shows as well. But when you actually do the thing that you said you were going to do, there's a magic that happens there. And so what I really want to get into is how did you go about not just because of therapy, but after therapy, basically, yeah. How did you go about that process of healing? And what would you tell someone who is going to do the same thing as you? God forbid, I would wish that on anyone, yeah. Right? But what would you tell someone who is struggling in their lives and in their hearts, mm-hmm. feels like their mind is made wrong? And, you know, it doesn't have to be the situation, right? But if someone feels like they are just wrong, you know, and they're struggling, what was the point that was like, hey, Issa Diva, you know, it's like, what was the moment? I know you had therapy and I know like, but I want to hear about the churnings of your mind. I want to hear, you know, those little cogs going around about what was that moment and how did you continue into that moment? You know, because it's not just the split second, right, guys? It's the continuation.
Yeah.
It's the persistence against the resistance. So that's kind of what I want to hear about. What would you tell them?
Well, that moment of me kind of just embracing myself really came from like I would stand in front of the mirror and just like pose my body in feminine and girlish ways, you know? And yeah, like I would model. And actually, you know, that was the thing that like kind of like clicked in my head. Like I could totally be a supermodel. And it'd be fine. And I would slay the game.
Can't she though?
And like, I could do like campaigns and like and their face and all that. And it was when I was starting to really believe those things, it's when I kind of cut off that message I was always told that you are a boy, you should grow up to be a man and do, you know,
man things,
you know, marry a woman, have kids, provide for your kids, all that typical American stuff. And like, my whole life, I was trying to believe those kinds of things for myself, but I always felt detached from it. Mm-hmm. And it caused a lot of anger and a lot of like resentment towards myself, towards others. But it was in that moment of, you know, seeing myself in the mirror and like seeing myself look pretty that really did it for me. Like, you know, I am pretty. I'm pretty because I am these things, you know, mm-hmm. and that's just my truth. And that's how I shine the most. And it was just very healing. And very therapeutic to just embrace it, stop fighting it, really.
I'm pretty because I am.
Yeah, because that's how God made me. That's how he intended me to be.
I love it.
Sorry if it comes off a little vain.
No.
I really don't care if
you're pretty because you are.
Yeah, I really don't care if I'm vain because I've spent a lot of my life growing up just hating myself.
Feeling very ugly. Yeah.
And like, yeah, you know that from the moment you met me, I would refer to myself as a monster and just unlovable, unlikable, just someone who just belongs at the bottom of the trash barrel. That's how I just saw myself. And I think if I had just taken more time to just say, you know, I'm a pretty girl, I have pretty hair, I have pretty eyes, I have pretty lips, and the older I got these beautiful hips. I think it just would have made life a little easier to just go with and embrace and focus on the things that I'm good at.
Brilliant.
What I would tell to someone who feels the same way is that, you know, first of all, it's not your fault that you feel this way. And you can do a ton of things to make yourself feel better. And it does take work. I would also tell them that it's not really ever going to go away. Your struggles, whatever it is that may be, is probably going to follow you for the rest of your life. That's something that I kind of accepted for myself. But there are ways to help yourself. if you want to. Or you can just totally embrace the darkness and live that way. Because there's a lot of people who do, and they're fine with it. Maybe they think they're fine with it, but it works for them. You know, they're functional, depressed people. And but I just knew I didn't want that for myself. I think I would have gone worse. You know, depression makes me gain weight. And I don't like that at all.
So it makes you hungry.
Yeah, it would have made me. Yeah, I just think it just would make me just a worse version of myself that I wanted to avoid so bad, but it was going to happen regardless because I was allowing those things to happen. I would tell these people to know what it is that makes them genuinely happy. It can be your favorite pop song or your favorite croissant at a cafe. It could be your favorite Starbucks drink. I don't drink Starbucks.
Cold brew.
That's okay. It could be anything that genuinely brings you joy. The way I found out about those things is because I would keep referring to the time I was in my relationship. There's a lot of things that I like that he didn't really like. And I started to take that on myself. You know, like, okay, well, I guess that's bad. Or I guess it's really not that big of a deal. Or there are other things that you can be into. Uh-huh. And yeah, you're just ripping yourself apart, really, when you're refusing the things that make you who you are. So I think it's important for these people to know what it is that makes them truly happy and to keep up with those things.
What, as you and I have been through, not like super similar situations, but similar situations where, actually, yeah, similar situations, not in the depth of what you went through, but with me, where it was like, I really just kind of shed everything that was about me. And I was kind of a shadow of a person through a couple of actual relationships. Yeah. And, what is it? You know, I'm sure there's listeners out there and viewers now that we're on YouTube, right? But what was it that made you, was it a fear of being rejected? Or was it just, what was it that made you say fuck you to everything that you loved? You know, was it the perceived love of this person? What was it?
It was a lot of things. That perceived love that I had for that person. I loved him very, very much with all my
heart. Of course
you
did.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it was also a fear of being not so much rejected, but being left and being left to be alone because I couldn't fit the mold that they wanted. And you know, when you're the kind of person that I am, where you just really put all your eggs into that one basket, it's going to be really hard to want to try and let it go and to understand that there's something else for you. It's very hard to understand that.
In the moment, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, instead of just, you know, letting life come by and make me a single person again, I decided, well, I'm going to do everything I can to stay in this relationship, to make it work, to make him proud of me, to make him just want me and only me and nobody else. But I needed him to want me like this.
So you would tell yourself back then, it's like, honestly, like, dick is not, you know, but not just dick, but like anything. You know what I'm saying? It's like you thought that being alone was so scary, but hey, look at you now.
I actually like it.
You like it.
That, yeah.
Single girls.
That was a huge lesson to learn, to embrace single life. Because when you're single and there's nobody over you telling you what you gotta do, where you gotta be, you're that much less depressed and less anxious about your life and what you're doing with yourself. You know, you're just doing the things that you wanna do. That's what makes people happy. I think that's the lesson here today, you guys. Do what you wanna do. Because you're going to be a lot more happier if you're doing doing something that other people are telling you to do.
Or what society expects you.
Right.
Okay, so what I want to ask, is we're going to put it out towards y'all, okay? From your perspective, what do you see as the biggest pain point for mental health in 2019 when it comes to entertainment and LGBTQ+ right now? And in what ways do you think that drag and you are able to shine a light on those issues?
I think the biggest pain point would be a lack of support from your inner circle, whether that's your family or your friends. If you don't have that support, you know, you're gonna go out seeking it in other places. And that's still very much the case today. You know, there's a lot of youth who get kicked out of their homes still because they're identified as LGBTQIA+. They resort to prostitution on the street. They resort to a life of drug use, engaging in harmful sexual activity. And it just ruins you. You know, if you had that support that where people were just telling you, you know, you are okay. you are great and amazing just by being who you are. You know, you could probably focus on school a little easier or focus on that music you want to pursue a little more, work on your dancing a little better and just shine brighter for the world to see. But when that inner, where that base of support should be when it's not there, it's the making just for a really hard life, I think. And I think drag is very powerful because it's controversial and it's political. Don't ask me how political because I really don't know. I'm just quoting Drag Race right now. But it is very controversial because, you know, it's a man with a dick getting up and he's wearing fishnets and heels and he's making the crowd gag, you know? It's just very easy to be a drag queen and to spark conversation. And I think if more queens were to step up and spark conversation about mental health and supporting, you know, each other from within the community, because there is still a lot of discrimination between ourselves towards each other.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, there really is. Yeah. You know, drag queens can be those leaders that inspire others to want to be the same thing. And, you know, it's nice to get up there and be sparkly and be beautiful and get the coin, but we should also use our platform to help others.
Yeah, drag is very normalized at this point. I think, you know, we're in 2019, but it's not politicized as much as it used to be. And I really feel like it should be, because it was such a political thing, right? If anyone has seen Paris is Burning,
oh, yes,
you really should see Paris is Burning, because the issues that were going on when these people had nothing. They were paying their bills with their drag and not even paying their bills. Like, these people were dying, you know, yeah, of AIDS, you know, in the 80s. And they were being abused, and they had a lot of stuff going on. There was drugs, there was a lot of things going on that, like, people don't even stop to think about now. You know, we got these Instagram queens, no shade to y'all, which, love y'all, but let's be a little bit more vocal about
real issues,
because, you know, obviously in the current administration, when people come and watch this, like, in history, we're going to see that this was a time that was problematic, you know, and that people really should speak out on, that the maximum amount of people should be actively working against, so vocal against, you know. We need to see more of that, I think. And I want to hear what you want to do and what you would like to see more of in terms of political, it shouldn't even be political, right? But that's where we are, you know? But in terms of, it will not be America soon, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's up to us, right? You know, we need to make this stand. So what would you like to see in terms of what people are doing in drag, what people are saying in drag?
I want to see, honestly, I just want to see a bigger message of kindness and love to be spread around. And, like, I know it's what a lot of people kind of just, like, throw out there. Oh yes, love all, be kind to all. But do we actually really show it in our actions? Do we express it in our words that we use to one another? I want to see more of that. And hopefully I want my drag to inspire that message, because this world could thrive us so much better on just pure kindness and love for one another. I think it really can. I think I'm really good at just naturally being kind and nice to people. And I like when others are nice to me. It makes me feel more at ease and better about myself. And there's not enough of that these days. I honestly feel like everyone is just scared of one another, and we're all just not really brave enough just to speak up about it and be honest about it. Like, yeah, you know, you make me nervous when you look at me. You know, we'd rather be a bitch and just give side eye or comment something mean instead. But if we were just, you know, just vocalize our insecurities a little bit more, we could create more of a safer space to encourage one another. You don't have to feel that way, because I see this in you, and you should do that more because it makes you shine. I want to see more of that in my community.
You want to radicalize. You want to radicalize your kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah, because no one, I feel like people want to, but it's just like, oh, that's too much. I feel like the most important message of this, of your episode, Isa, is that be extra. Be extra. Don't be afraid of the extra. Be extra kind. Be extra radical. Be extra loving. Be extra you. Because extra femme. Femme. Shout out to pop star Femme, because she's wonderful. Love y'all. But be extra femme, because with literally cycling back to Tommy, you don't have another chance to be extra anything else. Right. You know, there is nothing else. So if you are not to be, I don't want to say, because like when I'm having a manic episode, you know, I get scared, you know, because I am bipolar. And I get scared, and it kind of compounds upon each other when I'm really aware of what's happening. I can't really control it, you know, chemically. So I feel like I'm being so extra and I can't really help it. And this is an extreme example. I'm not saying go, you know, super embrace, you know, like don't justify your actions if they're not justifiable. But don't be afraid to be the maximum of who you are in the moment. If it is not harming anyone else, and if you are completely in living your best spirit, I think that's the best thing that I can tell you right now. So I think that's the most important part of drag, is that you can't, it not only excuses you to be extra, but it justifies everyone to be extra.
Yes.
You know, and saying that extra shouldn't even be extra. What is extra? Just be you.
Right.
You know, just be on at all times. You want to be on, then be on.
Don't
you want to be
yourself.
Off, be off. Let everyone else shut the fuck up. You know, I don't know. I just felt angry at that moment.
I like that moment.
I was like,
yes.
I'm just gonna...
You're getting passionate here.
No, it's so real, you know, in the moment for us, because we are speaking on this at this moment, but you know, in our own lives, we struggle with it. It's like, oh, like I need to tone down,
yeah.
Right? I need to this, I need to that, I need to this, because people are going to be like, oh,
that's too much for
unfollow.
This
and I'm yeah. like, okay, bye, sweetheart. What I've been really studying actually is the more you really express your absolute true north, you know, your absolute true self, is the more people will actually latch on to you. The less filtered that you are, the more that you will actually see people identifying that, because that's what people want to be. That's what you want to be. That's what I want to be. That's who you want to be. We see people who are completely unfiltered and it's like, oh my God, I wish I could be like them. You can.
Not really
you can. It's not the easiest thing in the world, right? But
it's definitely rewarding.
It's rewarding. Yeah. Yeah. And the more I do it, the more it becomes a habit. So actually, like, extraness is a habit. This is so good right now. Extraness is a habit, and make it yours. Okay, so we're going to start to wrap up a little bit, not too much, but I want to know, I'm starting to think in terms of vision and legacy lately, and I want to know what your vision is for your future and for the future of drag.
For my future, I see a lot more drag, a lot more makeup, glam. Being uncomfortable all the time in my
yes.
shoes.
Yes, no, that's pain. All it is.
It is very painful, especially if you want to get into corseting. It's a bit more pain right there. I plan to have a snatched tuck for sure. I'm not tucked right now, just so you guys know. And I have hair on my feet too.
She's out. I mean, all of us kind of do. I mean, some of it's peach fuzz, but like
mine's
I was
black.
No, just... I was literally just looking at yours and I'm like, it looks good with the black.
You think so?
It does. It just looks like, you know, it looks natural, and I feel like everyone needs to start thinking in that, like, it is literally natural. Like, let's fuck all of, like, this, like, who wears short shorts, right? Because it's like, we all wear short shorts.
And we're all hairy.
My friend Issa's, you know, hairy smattering feet. Of hair, but it looks natural, and we need to start being a natural community. You know what I'm saying? Also earth sensitive, like who knows how many razors are in the ocean, you know, or in landfills right now. And it's like, if we just like, we're like super like confident with these like legs of ours, as I'm talking to you right now with shaved legs, like, let's be honest. I am talking to you right now with shaved legs, but I really want to start advocating that, you know, and working on that in myself, because it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
It should be up to everyone's preference.
It should be up to everyone's preference. And I feel like, you know, if someone were to, you know, like, you know, to see my legs right now, you know, it's like, you know what? Like, I haven't, to be honest, guys, I haven't shaved like the top, you know, of my knee. I haven't gone above my knee. You know, to me, it looks just fine. You know, I have shaved above that before, and we're going really TMI right here, but I want to be real. Like, I have shaved above that before, but it doesn't make a difference in what my leg looks like, you know, and it doesn't make a difference in what I perceived my leg to look like. It doesn't make a difference in the value of my leg. My leg is a leg, you know, it's just a leg. We went so off right now, but I feel like it's very important.
Right in the moment.
It is very important. People get very intense and pretty misogynistic about leg hair when it's not a male, female, non-binary or anything in between. It's none of that. It is a literally human characteristic that allows us to be, what's it called? Like, not warmer. Yeah, in the winter months. It's October, guys. Come on. Continue. Legacy, vision, yes, girl.
Legacy. I want to be a RuPaul's Drag Race girl.
Yes, you will be.
Yeah, I keep telling everyone, you know, catch me on season 15.
It's October 7th, 2019 right now. This is your official
declaration.
This is like when like they have like the presidential candidates. Yes. This is your announcement. Like, yes. This is your like running.
I'm running for next Drag Race Superstar on RuPaul's Drag Race season 15. If not, then shortly after. I see myself inspiring other people just to be kinder and nicer, not only to others, but first of all to themselves.
Right.
Because I was never good at that my whole life. I was never kind to myself. And I'm trying to be more kinder these days to myself, because if I'm not good to myself, I won't be good to any other people.
What does RuPaul say?
He likes to say, if you don't love yourself, how can you love someone else? Yes. I see owning my own brand. And yeah, just, you know, kill. I see myself making money on his
No, no, no. Declare. Yeah. There is no shame in money. Money is paper.
I see money myself. Yeah. I'm most importantly, I want to inspire the kind of people who just can't believe in themselves.
That was always
me. And I, you know, I still struggle to believe in myself. Putting on my face today, I was struggling to believe in it. And I want to inspire those people to stop with that message and just know that they are capable of doing it. Know that they have beautiful features about themselves that should be shared with others and shouldn't be hidden because they don't see it themselves, you know? I want to inspire a lot more of that through my drag, through my art, through my brand, my name.
Issa what? Issa Diva.
Issa Diva.
I want to know one last thing from you.
Yes.
It is October 2019, and I started this podcast in May 2019, which is like actually in the long run, it's like super short time. But I keep asking this question of all my interviewees.
Yes.
And I want to know, how do you plan to continue? Actually, I'm sorry. Blah. How have you created beautiful things in 2019, and how do you continue to create them into 2020?
I have created my drag Insta page.
Yay!
Very big for me, because
it is
my platform to be who I am.
Instagram.
Yeah. Once I made that page, that's what made it real for me. Like, okay, I gotta do this.
I'm an actual queen. Yeah.
And I have a reputation now to uphold. I collaborated with you and debuted myself as an official performer in drag back in April 2019.
It was a good show. It was a really good show, honestly. Like,
it was honestly
no one
dreams
knows it.
Come true for me, because I yeah. never, if that show didn't happen, I probably still wouldn't have performed up to this day. Honestly, that's me being real with my tea. Like, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't have performed that if that time didn't happen. So yeah, it's been that, and you know, I got these nails at Claire's, my hands, and I want to get more manicures, create prettier hands.
Let's go get them. I need to get, okay, I'm like hella broke right now, but like, let's go get paid and like get fit, like acrylics, because I have, everyone knows this about me, who like knows this, you know, like I get acrylics and yes. then like they fuck up my nails, and then I get like, then I have to let them grow out. Because I'm like, I want my nails to not be like brittle and broken. And then I get, it's just like this vicious cycle. But like, I've had like plain nails for like at least 3 months now. So like, it's time. Yeah. Okay. So nails. Absolutely. What do you continue? What are you going to continue to create in 2019 and 2020? Because I know that we've got a show.
Yes.
Coming up. Yes. We've got first show at 3:40.
Yes. So on November 1st, Friday night at 9 p.m., I will be at 3:40 Nightclub in Pomona, California. It was the first club I ever started going to when I started getting out and experiencing gay nightlife and drag culture in person besides the show.
So same,
it's really special that, yeah, I get to do it there. I feel like it's come full circle. I even worked there once randomly for one night.
As
some kind of host. Just, yeah. I can't even really remember. I was trying to get people's emails, and yeah. I felt very awkward and ugly doing it.
Oh, so, the email list. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel, yeah, it's just come full circle to just go back there and be a queen, like, and be the girls that I was seeing back at the time. And yeah, I just plan on doing more of that, performing more regularly, creating more online content, like makeup tutorials, creating a solid YouTube page. And just really connecting with other people who are like-minded and see the same things that I see and do.
So my friends, so my beautiful creators, you've been slayed. I feel like it's such a powerful interview. I can't put my finger on what's so powerful about it. Maybe it's because it's Issa, and Issa is a goddess. But she is going to tell you, in case you missed it in the beginning, where you can find her, but honestly, like, her magnetism is going to attract you nonetheless. She's going to make it easy, right?
Very easy.
Very easy.
Very easy. It's just one tag you have to really think of. It's Issa Diva Queen at, what, Louder?
Yes.
Sorry.
Louder!
Okay, start again.
No, keep going.
You can find me on Instagram at Issa Diva Queen, ISSA. DivaQueen, Issa Diva Queen on Instagram. You can also email me at Gmail using at Issa Diva Queen. That's basically it. I don't have a lot of other tags. Handles. I don't even know how to say it right.
What I want you to do is to email Issa. I want you to follow her. I want you to subscribe to her on YouTube, because she will be Issa Diva Queen.
Somewhere on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's taken, then I'll be
Issa
something
else. No, you're going to sue. You're going to subscribe to her, you're going to follow her, and you're going to send her an email telling her what you got from this motherfucking interview and how you're going to live your life.
Tell me, I wonder.
Yes. I know she does. I was just looking at her for support, and... Don't feel intimidated. We are here. We're not going to hit you back like assholes. I want to respond to you. Let me know. Talk to us. Tag us at SteelMaggieHQ, at Issa Diva Queen on Instagram. Tag us in your stories. Screenshot the podcast if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Deezer, wherever you're listening on your phone or laptop, and tell us what you thought. I want to hear from you. All right. Well, my friends, this has been an absolutely amazing, crazy Mind Made Wrong interview. I expect full participation and also full attendance next week in class for episode number 26. But until then, my beautiful creators, let's go create beautiful things. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. You're listening to the Mind Made Wrong podcast, presented by Steel Maggie, episode number 25B. Now, this particular episode is, it goes hand in hand with 25A. It is released on the same week, but the reason why I'm doing this is that Issa Diva, my guest on 25A, had other answers, had more in-depth and more vulnerable, more raw answers that we didn't feel that we covered to the depth that she wanted to in the video interview. So I highly, highly encourage you to check these out if you want to hear more about where she is coming from. All right, no more front end needed. This is Issa Diva.
Greetings from Eros. This is Issa Diva, and I am having a conversation with myself. Issa, tell us about your origins, and if there's ever a time where you felt like your mind or you were just made wrong. When I look back on my life, I distinctly remember feeling a strong desire to be like a woman, to be like a girl. Most of the times it was feeling envious and towards other girls because they got to wear their hair long and pretty, and they got to wear the pretty clothes, and they got to play with all the pretty toys. Toys that felt like that were very much appropriate for me, but I was always told, no, you know, it's wrong. You're a boy. You play with boy things. Girls are for dolls are for girls. I look back on my life and I see a lot of times being angry and being violent and just emotionally frustrated and just having real no way of expressing what was really on my mind, I guess. And I guess it was just coming out in all these violent ways. You know, I was homeschooled my whole entire life up until 14 going to high school. But all that time spent at home, I was raised by my sisters. You know, my parents were either busy running a church until it fell apart, and then they were too busy trying to go to work and make ends meet, keep food on the table. So I was around my sisters a lot, and they were always supposed to be the authority figure for most of the day. And I just remember all these times I was just being very, you know, just frustrated and emotionally and just upset and angry and just like lashing out, you know, just like throwing tantrums. Like I'm like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old and I'm throwing tantrums of like a 3-year-old. And it felt very, just very odd. You know, I would go through it, but at the same time, I would even think to myself and feel to myself, you know, like, this is so weird. Like, why do you act out like this in such an immature way, in such a violent way, you know, pulling hair and trying to come, you know, threaten and trying to like come off like, you know, I'm like a real threat and pulling out weapons in some instances. Nothing I'm really proud of, but it's the tea. And, you know, just looking back as an adult, I'm trying to like piece all those puzzles together, and I just feel like it's all linked to just that desire to want to be just like a girl, you know, and I would always, in my head, I would always picture myself looking like a girl, dressing like a girl, playing with all the girl toys. I never thought about womanhood. I just knew in the moment that's what I wanted, the feminine. I always knew I was attracted to boys. Boys were cute to me. Boys were dreamy. I crushed very easily. And I had many crushes, and they were all boys most of the time. Once or twice, it was on a girl. But, you know, maybe I'm lesbian. Who knows? I just remember always going through, you know, the more I got to interact with kids, you know, that was later towards like into my teen years. I always just felt so scared and intimidated and disconnected from boys. like an outsider always looking in. And then same thing with girls, an outsider looking in. I didn't quite belong in there because the way I looked. There was this song that I really connected with at the time. I was 5 years old. It was 1998, and I had just watched Mulan. And the song Reflection was just so beautiful. I loved the melody and just the drama of it all, just the emotions. And I, one time during, after a church service or something, I was out in the parking lot with some other kids, and I guess I was having a moment to myself where I had to go off and just, like, you know, like the girls did in the movies, just go off and sing your song because you're feeling a certain way. So I went off and I sung that song, Reflection. It just felt like the right song to sing. And as an adult, I think of the words again, how it says, like, I'll never pass for a perfect bride or a perfect daughter. You know, if I were to truly be myself, I would break my family's heart. Those lyrics, they speak so much truth about me. That's exactly who I am. That's exactly how I feel, how I've always felt my entire life. Going through just being very in a sheltered environment with strict parents and somewhat of an overbearing mother, it just created like a lot of fear and caused a lot of anxiety to start to just develop. And I always remember feeling on edge, feeling always scared of something. And I continue to feel that way to this very moment, just afraid. Afraid all the goddamn time. If that makes any sense to anyone, that those are my origins. Wanting to be a girl. Being oppressed by religion and being made to feel scared. What is the most significant struggle you face when it comes to the relationship between your own mental health and your craft today? Thank you for your question. You look lovely. My biggest struggle would be keeping my motivation to stay consistent. I'm a child who grew up watching television for most of his days and continue to do the same thing today. I'm a very lazy person, and it's very easy for me to just be that way. If I were to go my whole life doing absolutely nothing with myself, just watch TV every day, I think I would genuinely not have a problem with it. I only care about my laziness when someone else is clocking me for it. Having depression and anxiety makes it very easy to just want to curl up and not want to do anything for hours. Having marijuana and Bravo TV makes it that much harder to go for a walk instead of taking a sewing class or practicing my dancing. I just waste away. I guess, I don't think I waste away, but I guess what others thinks is wasting away is my reality. And I think I just want listeners to know that, yeah, there are people in this world who face that very same reality. And I would like to see more discussions about it and ways to try and help it. What does self-care mean to you? And how do you put it into practice? Self-care means to exercise, eat food that is good for the mind and body, practice some type of meditating or prayer. I do none of these things, which is probably why I'm so fucked up. But yeah, I think that's what it takes to be healthy. I think that's a good way to start. What I try to practice, though, and what I think is very effective is just spending the time to do the things that make me happy. It's not hard to know what makes you happy, you know, and you know, if it doesn't hurt others and if it doesn't hurt you, I think it's just safe to go with those things. I like to listen to my favorite pop music all the time, and I like to put on my favorite shade of lipstick and, yeah, even smoke some weed. And I think what's important, though, is, like, doing more of these things, but, like, doing it just, like, alone, not really needing other people to be there to do them with. I think it's important to enjoy being alone, because in this life we are alone some places, most of the time, sometimes, whatever. Like, you know, everyone has a different experience, but I know everyone feels loneliness at one point or another. And it's not really a bad thing. It's how you look at it. It's how you treat that time by yourself. And I just try and do that. I think I'm pretty good at that right now. Spending some quality time with myself and just being in tune with myself. Issa, do you have any mental health resources that you use regularly? It could be a book. It could be a person. Oh, stop right there. It is a person, actually. I'm glad you asked. My biggest resource would have to be my godmother, Kimberly Turner. I met her, what is it, like 4 years ago? Going on 5 years ago, probably. And she has welcomed me into her life with the biggest open arms. I honestly consider her, like, my alternate mother, the mother I always needed. She does not judge or condemn you. She just loves. She studies you. She learns all the things that make you who you are and so you, what make you so unique. And she praises you for those things. The things that you can't see yourself, she sees them. All the doubt that you feel, she convinces you to believe in the opposite. And immediately I feel better, stronger, and braver to go out into the world and to live my truth. She's taught me that closed mouths don't get fed, and to not be sorry, but to be better. I'm extremely fortunate and extremely blessed to know Kim and to call her my friend.
Hey, my beautiful creators, thank you so, so much for listening to this extra special snippet, this extra little bonus from Issa Diva. And I just wanted to thank you. I wanted to remind you that I would love if you would give me a review rating on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen and you're able to give me a review. Tell me what you have received, the value that you received from this podcast. It really helps me reach other beautiful creators just like you. All right, my friends, I will see you next week. But until then, let's go create beautiful things. Bye-bye.